Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. But not today, Shane. Today, I'm Commodore Mike. I'm ready to anchor down, buddy. And there's cousin Shane, a big Tennessee homer. But not today. Today, he's anchored down, Shane. What's up, brother?
Not the first time I've been called anchor, son. What's going on, son?
We were just joking in the off air, as we tend to do, and we are already seeing some cousins like JP, Michael Raleigh show up. Yeah. So we appreciate you, because we know we try to be the one SEC show out there. There's probably others, but the one out there that covers all the teams, Shane. And yes. Vanderbilt may be looked down upon even by the damn SEC network, but not on this show, Shane. We're going to cover them. And I'll tell you what, covering this team, doing the research, I'm pretty fired up. I think this could be a surprise team this year. But shout out Michael Raleigh. He's a big Gator. And even though he's a Gator, he's asked questions about Vanderbilt. So let's tackle this one right off the bat. I love the questions.
Yes.
Maybe that's what, maybe, you know, we're always trying to make this bigger and better. Maybe that's what we ought to do next year, is when we get to the end, answer questions about the teams. But
yeah.
What is the issue? And he calls them candy. What is the issue with candy fans not showing up to games? Is it marketing, or do people not care? Well, hey, that's one thing they're looking to change this year, Shane, because the stadium, to my knowledge, is going to be 100% done.
Yeah.
State-of-the-art facility. They've been playing on construction site for the past couple seasons, but not this year, buddy. They're the full stadium, maybe one of the nicest in the SEC. But yes, I do blame the fans a little bit, but I blame the university and the football product they've been putting on the field more than anything, because again, we got the best fans in the SEC, or excuse me, in the country. They come out of the SEC. I don't even think that's debatable at this point. But as great as the fans are, Shane, if they were, you know, losing 20 straight SEC games and not being competitive, you know, how many of these fans would not show up? And we see it. We've seen it at Tennessee. We've seen it at Florida. We've seen it at on and on. I mean, hell, there was many Georgia fans that you know, kind of turned on Mark Richt at the end. If you don't win, you can't ask fans to show up.
That's it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about the product you put on the field, Mike. I mean, how many times do you ever go watch a movie and telltale sign is like wins a Sundance Award? My ass ain't watching it, you know, because it's probably not a good movie. I'm sure the artists agree that it was really good and they, you know, pat each other on the back, but nobody's filling up the stadium to watch that movie. And I feel like that's kind of what Vanderbilt has been doing up until last year. I mean, obviously you saw that excitement when James Franklin was there. This is a team that was beating, you know, top dog SEC programs. And now you're seeing it again with Coach Lee. You know, you're pulling off some upsets. It's not just a bloodbath anymore. And so when you are entertaining, the kids want to be a part of it. The boosters want to be a part of it. The fans, there's a lot of Vanderbilt fans that just don't go to the games because is it worth fighting that Nashville traffic when I could just sit there at the house and watch the game? It's probably not. But now if it's an event, and I feel like that's what they're on the cusp of doing, or at least trying to create there.
And it certainly was last season. We're going to get to that in just a second, against Alabama, beating, dethroning number one, first time in 40 years. But as Michael Raleigh says, in the case of who is the daddy of the state of Alabama, Vanderbilt, you are in fact the father. Shout out cousin Joshua says, not a damn single Vandy fan in this chat. But they're probably out there. They're probably out there, just like Chase Moore. Shout out Chase Moore. Hell Shane, just you, became cuss. A member of the channel. Chase, welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
And not to be outdone, Shane, the legend has struck again. JR's back.
The legend. Hell yeah. Cousin JR has done it again.
Let's see, Shane, who JR has blessed today. I hope it's a Vanderbilt fan just for today. JR has blessed. Nope. The Aggie. Welcome to the family.
Absolutely.
Courtesy of
JR. The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by cousin JR.
We appreciate JR. Even on Vanderbilt days, you showing up and donating these memberships means a lot to us.
I swear, I hear JP's voice at night. You know, I just wake up and I hear some sort of welcome to the family. So that voice I try to mimic. I'll be out. Not, you know how you do that? You get this little thing on your mind. You can't get it out. Maybe a song or something like that. It's JP's voice. And I keep trying to do it and I can't.
Well, hey, not to be outdone, Chase also donated Shane $5.
Yeah, thank you, cuz.
Mizzou was the first team Vandy tried to surprise last year. We'll be ready this year. Respect. Ooh. Pavia, though, M-I-Z. We appreciate you, Chase.
Hell yeah.
Thank you so much.
That's so funny because after that game, it wasn't how well Vandy played. It was how shitty Mizzou played.
Yeah, it was what's wrong with Mizzou.
Absolutely. They ran with that for weeks. And then after they beat Bama, they're like, maybe they are good. It's like, wait a minute. They weren't good 3 weeks ago.
All right, so let's get into it, Shane. Quick recap. Over the last season for them, Commodores came out of nowhere, went 7-6. Remember, this was a program that went 0-8 in the SEC the year before. It was in turmoil here. Bowl game, I mean, that was laughable. Not only did they make a bowl game, they whipped Georgia Tech in the Birmingham Bowl. It was glorious. It was rainy. It was a fist fight. That's what the Commodores are now, Shane. They used to be the nerd you'd stuff in the locker. Now they're the bully throwing rocks, just trying to, force you to make the mistakes like they did Bama, like they did Kentucky, like they did Auburn. So, it is funny, Shane, how, I think the narrative all off season is, well, they got lucky. They beat number one Bama and then everybody kind of caught up to them. Well, they got multiple SEC wins on the road after that game. They took Texas basically to the wire. I know they scored late, but they were kicking it onside to try to tie Texas late in the day. I mean, they played Texas better than damn near anybody in the conference, not named Georgia. Mm-hmm. So again, LSU, all the money in the world they got down there, they took them basically to the wire. So what was your main takeaway last year of the Commodores?
Yeah, I don't think the record did it justice because every single team, just about every single team, had some scary moments in that Vanderbilt game. Lord knows Tennessee fans did, down a couple of scores. Like you said, you're looking at Texas, Mizzou. I mean, that should have been a Vanderbilt win. I still can't believe they pulled that one off. But yeah, I feel like you move a couple of those games around, then all of a sudden you're like, Vanderbilt had a superior season. Everybody just crowns the one game. It was every game Vanderbilt was pretty much in. So I that's the biggest surprise for me is just the quick turnaround, especially going in to last year. I mean, we were down. We were excited about the Pavia and the coordinator and some of the new hires that they made, but let's don't act like this team wasn't picked through the year prior when that portal opened. So I was tremendously surprised with what they got out of the talent they had.
Hey, shout out cousin JP, the sound effects guru here, Shane. The secret to his voice, Marlboros, come on.
Yeah. I used to be, Mike knows this, I was a big time smoker for many, many years. I was working at a factory and I noticed that the people, like you got your 15-minute breaks and your 35-minute breaks, but I would notice that these guys that smoke, they'd go to the door every now and then and they'd get 10, 15. I see them cutting up over there. I was like, well, damn, I'll just get a pack of cigarettes, get a little break, hang out with them. Didn't even know what I was doing. Next thing you know, I left there with a habit, so tough habit to quit.
Hey, I love this comment from Cousin Kyle. Diego Pavia transferred to Vanderbilt and immediately became the best quarterback in Nashville. That includes the Titans. That's true. You know what?
Oh, brother, this guy's awesome.
Moonshine, hit the button for Cousin Shane.
Hell yeah. Come on, Moonshine. That's my burner. I meant to switch the names. Thank you, Moonshine.
And Steven Up, Shady's back again with another donation.
Boys showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
We appreciate you, Steven Up.
I was afraid he wouldn't show up for this one, because he was picking all the other ones that they beat,
Well, he's won enough over the years, Shane, but now it's Dylan Seaball, who's just been gifted a membership by Steven Up. Dylan, welcome
to the family.
Welcome to the family.
Sledgehammer over here.
All right, so let's get into Clark Lee's updated resume here, Shane. Again, it's, you know, it took longer than expected, but we are on our way. I think we've passed that bowl game threshold, and of course won that bowl game. And then here's a look at Clark Lee versus the conference. Again, got some work to do here, but you know, honestly, this was a little bit better than I thought, Shane. 2-2 against Kentucky, 1-1 against Auburn, 1-1 against Bama. Hell, even 1-2 against Florida. And babe, doesn't have another win here, but again, every team preview we have, Shane, everybody's over against Georgia. Ole Miss, they've been historically good here. Again, we got to clean it up against, you know, I think the ones you really got to get, and we'll have plenty of time to get into this, but Missouri, Tennessee, and South Carolina. Not that you got to beat them annually.
Yeah.
But I think if you really want to take that next step up and climb up the SEC ladder, you got to at least get one out of four against those teams that you typically play annually.
Obviously, this is extremely skewed, Mike, but when does it stop being upsets? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
When, how many years does Vanderbilt need to pull off top 25 wins before we stop calling it an upset, in your opinion? Maybe one more season, maybe year. I still feel like if it happened this year, even if it's Alabama, a team you beat last year, I still think we're going to call it an upset. You know, that's just my thing. It's taking that next where you kind of take that off of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, they are obviously lacking consistency, mm-hmm. and 1 year, no one's buying it. Now, again, I've done the research. We're going to get into it. I'm starting to buy into it again, but we got to do it another year. And then if we do it, guess what they're going to say next year, Shane? Well, Diego Pavia is gone. So I think you got to even do it the following year. And I'm not saying beat everybody. I'm not saying beat number one, but you got to be competitive. You got to be making the bowls. And, you know, so I fair or not, I think we're talking multiple seasons here before we start calling basically every conference win an upset.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Or maybe not all of them, you know.
Yeah, no.
Maybe Kentucky, maybe Mississippi State, but virtually all the rest.
My thing is there's a lot of zeros on that list to Coach Lee, you know. So I feel like you've got to at least even out a few of those before we start, you know, considering them non-upsets. You know what I'm saying?
I'll tell you when it really changes, Shane.
Yeah.
When you lose to Vanderbilt, you're not immediately calling for your coach to be fired. That's when you know that, you know, it's okay. We respect them, maybe not much, but we respect them a little bit. You know what?
Yeah. Well, remind me to bring that back up when we start doing the scheduling, because I am curious, is there any team on there that you're like, okay, you lose, you're getting fired?
Yeah. All right. So let's get into the returning production. Now, Shane, this is when it may. Again, I tried to throw out the red flags earlier. People were, I don't think Jeez. They were buying it, but Vanderbilt, far and away, number one returning production in the SEC on the offensive side of the football, Shane. 80% of last year's production is back, including 99.5% of the passing, thanks largely to, obviously, Diego Pavia. Rushing, over 92% is back. That's number one in the SEC. Top three rushers are all back. Receiving, 75.9%, number one in the SEC. Now, the one hole here is offensive line. Just over 30% of the offensive line snaps from last year are back. That is 14th in the conference. We'll get to the portal here in a minute. They raided the portal to try to shore that up. But, buddy, I mean, again, in 95% offenses, yes, having an inexperienced offensive line will kill you. But not necessarily in this system, Shane, where what they're really doing, they're playing a triple option out of the shotgun. Yeah. Again, would you prefer to have number one offensive line snaps? Obviously. But I really don't think that this is necessarily going to kill Vanderbilt.
No, I really think that's just why that kept him in a lot of football games last year, is because, similar to a running back on most of these SEC teams, it's almost interchangeable up there. You're going to replace them anyway. This is going to be some rotation because of all the pulling that's going to be involved here. So, I'm not panicking about the offensive line, but I am very surprised that they're number one in all three of those categories. I was figuring passing, obviously. I mean, Pavia is 85 years old, so, but rushing and receiving, you know, that one kind of surprised me.
Right. So what you will naturally think, well, just the offense, right? They're going to be terrible on defense. Wrong again, Shane. Number one in returning production on the defensive side of the football. Over 75% of the production on defense is back from last year. Over 80% of the tackles. That's number one in the SEC. Top three tacklers from last year are back. And 11 of the top 13 tacklers are back, Shane. Tackles for loss over 89%. That's number one in the SEC. Interceptions, 50% are back. That's ninth in the SEC. Passes defended, a hair under 78%. That's number one in the SEC. Defensive back snaps, 64.3%, seventh in the SEC. And then D-line, 91.2%, number one in the SEC. So I'm sensing a theme here, Shade. We're bringing back a ton of production. And again, I mean, it's almost like last year was year one, bringing in, you know, the New Mexico State squad that we brought to Nashville. And now Clark Lee, he had his fingers all over the defense. I think they took a big step forward last year. And the fact that we're bringing back so much production, that's a very, very promising sign for Vanderbilt.
I feel like you're making this up. I mean, why are we not talking about this? This seems like I see why you're getting more and more excited about the Vanderbilt Commodores, because again, I did not know. I wasn't paying attention that there was that much returning back, because it's not happening much anymore with the transfer portal and everything. These kids are gone if they're not playing. So it's just kind of surprises me that Vanderbilt's leading. Man, what a lot of production. That defense played well. Some of the times last year, fantastic.
Right. And what they essentially did, Shane, was just more or less play a bend but don't break style.
Yeah.
And they would really frustrate, but maybe not them, maybe more Vanderbilt's offense, but they chew up the clock. They limit possessions for the opponent. And then when you're only getting 3 to 4 possessions a half, I mean, you start forcing things, because you realize, hell, if we don't score a touchdown here, we may not get the ball back as half. You know what I mean? So it's, you know, it lends itself to, you know, a really good complementary style and a style no one else in the conference is really playing.
And it's funny. I mean, the teams that Vanderbilt will play will pretty much all see it, because they saw it last year. But there's a lot of SEC fans out there right now that have no idea the style that Vanderbilt is now putting on there. I mean, it kind of blows your mind. And it's boring and it's slow, but it works. And that's the recipe for success there in Nashville, man.
Right. And then, so here's what we did in the portal, Shane. We got the 20 guys in. They're all excellent. 20 guys out. They couldn't play in this system. So On Three's got this as the 28th portal class. 24/7 Sports got this as the 36th portal class. So of course On Three is the king today, yep. But what we've done here is we attacked the portal, Shane. CJ Hurd's a name to know. I think he's going to be a plug-and-play starter at safety. Trent Hudson, Shane, another name to know. He played at Mississippi State technically last year, or at least he was on the field, on the roster. But I'm listing him as New Mexico State because he was there with Diego Pavia and the coaching staff 2 years ago, yeah. Shane. Caught 10 touchdowns for New Mexico State, so he already knows the system. I think he's a plug-and-play starter. Tree Richardson is another name to know. He played at Division II Washburn at receiver. He scored 11 touchdowns last year. Again, I know that's Division II, but still productive there. Mm-hmm. And then they rated a lot of offensive linemen, players from Alabama, from Texas on the defensive side of the football, Tennessee. I mean, we are really adding some quality depth here to where I think Vanderbilt looked at potential deficiencies. Let's get undervalued guys that maybe didn't see the field much at Bama or Tennessee. Let's get them on our team. And that's exactly what I want to see from a program like Vanderbilt.
And it's so crazy seeing teams like Tennessee and Alabama and you know, cause usually it's the other way around. Like they're the ones that came in and took some of the Vanderbilt players that maybe had success. So yeah, kind of shocking here on the portal, but I do like all the big uglies they brought in. We just talked about that being not a weakness, but something that they're going to have a lot less returning production. So what do? You go out and you shop for them. So they brought a whole damn crew with them.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get into the projected offensive depth chart for the Commodores, Shane. And again, a lot of transfers here, particularly on the offensive line and receiver. That's what we kind of had to do to add more explosiveness to this offense. But if it's not a transfer, it's a returning starter. So, again, this goes to the theme, Shane, of a ton of production. Maybe not all of it in Nashville, I get it. But a ton of college production on this offense for the Vanderbilt Commodores. And number one position, I got to go quarterback. Thanks to Diego Pavia, he was a revelation. Scored 28 touchdowns for the Commodores last fall. And I would bet he's going to score even more this year, given all the trash he's been talking. And I love it. I love trash talk, Shane, as long as you can back it up. He's going to be representing them at SEC Media Days. I guarantee you he's going to come out with the most bold statements of any player next week down in Atlanta, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, we were talking about kind of how soft some of these Media Day attendees will be, but I feel like they're going to cut Diego loose. They're going to let him do his thing. He's already not afraid of the mic, and that's what we want, man. Let's be honest. We don't want coach speak. We don't want to be, you know, we don't want to keep hearing what we're supposed to be hearing. We want to hear how you feel, and I feel like Diego will do that. We got Diego and Blaze. What, they got the all-names team there in the quarterback room, don't they?
Right. And Blaze is another one, Shay. So he was from New Mexico State too. So, I mean, hell, even their backups already know the system and they're ready to compete and play. Receivers, tight ends, I'll throw them next. They have the best tight end maybe in the country, Shane Eli Stowers, best in the conference, in my opinion. Junior Sherrills was solid. And again, we highlighted the transfers coming in at receivers. So I think they're going to get a lot more production this season out of the receivers than they had last season. And then a name to know, you'll see it on the defensive depth chart as well. Martell Height, he's projected as a backup receiver. He's a starting defensive back, Shane. He scored on a punt return. He scored on a pick six against Tennessee. He's ultra, ultra talented. He's going to be one of these two-way players for the. So, I mean, imagine, Shane, we're in this day and age where even Vanderbilt has got elite talent that can play both sides of the football. That's pretty wild, isn't it?
I love it. I love it. Is that your Heisman candidate right there? I mean, that's the recipe.
Apparently. Next, I got the running back, Shane. I love Seth Alexander. He's one of the most underrated players in the entire conference. He fits this system to a T. And then last, I got to put the offensive line just because they're aside from Chase Mitchell, who 13 starts last year, zero sacks allowed. The rest of them, I get it. They've played a lot, but they're a complete unknowns in the SEC in this conference. So I have to put the offensive line dead last. I think that's the only way to be fair here.
Well, Mike, you know who's not dead last?
Cousin Rick.
Cousin Rick, come on, cuz. Hell yeah. Enjoy Media Days. Beat the hell out of Notre Dame, he says. We don't play Vandy, gig him.
It's Texas A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick. Gig him, Aggies.
Yeah, hey, we appreciate you, Rick. Thank you so much.
That, man. Absolutely.
I think he's
looking forward to it.
I think he's excited that, you know, again, most seasons, Shane.
Yeah.
You sit here and say, man, we don't get to play Vanderbilt? Come on, that's BS. Why is the SEC catering to other? Now you're sitting here saying, I'm glad.
Thank God we ain't got to play them. Because it's like at old school Georgia Tech, you know? You have to play. I mean, you got to throw everything out. You hear the coaches talk about how frustrating it is trying to get this offense. And just as you think you've got it, next thing you know, you look up in the third quarter and you're up 7 points and they're hanging on. So, yeah, it is a tough team to practice for. It's a tough team to play, but it is definitely working for them Commodores.
Would you agree with this statement from Cousin Glenn, Shane? If Bama loses to Vanderbilt again, Kalen DeBoer gets fired before he gets off the field. Remember they did that to old Bielema? He's still running his mouth. Would they fire him that day, you think?
Oh, brother, I don't.
I don't think they'd fire him that day, but I think they would fire him by the end of the year. Maybe
behind doors, because some coaches are dead men walking. You remember Jimbo was fired like 2 weeks before he was actually fired. So right. Yeah, it may be signed, but they may be holding on to it for a while.
Hey, how about this one from Cousin Robert? Rick is feeding Cousin Shane lunch at the Cracker Barrel. $50 goes a long way at Cracker Barrel. I think you can get more than lunch.
Hell yeah. I'm going to play my cards right, get that lunch special, and I take that $5 meal home, you know, so get a couple of meals. I am looking forward to the meals down there in Atlanta, so any suggestions, be sure to send those our way. Mike's putting that list together.
Yeah. Hey, Ashley Schaefer, BMW. You can't tell if Shane's moving his seat further away from the camera each episode or he's just getting skinnier.
Yeah, thank you. 74 pounds this morning, as a matter of fact. So, yes. I'm trying to get to the 80s by the time we get down there, but brother, it's 1,000 degrees. It feels like I am on the surface of the sun outside if I'm playing golf. Didn't get it to get out there today, but I'll be making up for it tomorrow.
You're getting it like old Diego.
That's it. Yeah, I get it.
All right. Now, speaking of the defense, Shane, again, what you see here, night and day different, right? Tons of starters. The bold, those are returning starters. And only one projected transfer in the starting lineup, and that's C.J. Heard, the safety I mentioned earlier from FAU. So, I mean, you could go any different directions here, but I'm going defensive backs, I think, are the best position group for the Commodores. We mentioned Martell Height, starting corner. He's the one that is potentially going to play some offense this year for us. Randon Fontenette, that's a name to know if you don't already. He's the nickel star. He may be the Vanderbilt's best player overall, maybe not best overall because we do got Diego and Eli Stowers, but best defender, I would give it to Fontenette. He's outstanding. Next position group, Shane, I really like these linebackers led by Langston Patterson. He's an awesome player. Brian Longwell. We got so much talent, Shane, that we even got returning starters as backups potentially on the West End this season in Nashville. And then last but not least, I'm probably putting the defensive line, and heck, the defensive line's got multiple returning starters that have been very productive and some incoming transfers with loads of potential. This could be a really quality defense and maybe the best defense. I expect it will be the best defense of the Clark Lea era.
Yeah. And how much is he going to be involved with this defense this year? I can't remember if he was stepping back from those duties, or is he still gonna do the defense?
No, he stepped back from it, essentially. Yeah. They've named a guy, Steve Gregory. He's been promoted to the defensive coordinator position. But, you know, Clark Lea, he is going to be intimately involved in it, no doubt, especially if things start going sideways, I would imagine. Just like all these coaches, Shane, they don't want to, you know, they let go of their baby, and then at first sign of something going wrong, they grab it right back. So, but I just think in today's modern era, with so much the portal and NIL and so much going on, I mean, there's a case to be made. Like Brett Venables taking over the defense, I get it. Josh Heupel calling the offense, Lane Kiffin calling the offense, I get it. Steve Sarkisian, but I don't mind that a head coach lets go a little bit here. I think. That is a smarter route for most coaches, particularly on the defensive side of the football, because you're still on all the calls, and you can call whatever the hell you want. But I think giving those responsibilities off is typically the right move.
It is. It is. I was just curious your input, just because I saw, you know, we talk about Pavia a lot. We talk about this offense, but ultimately it was that defense that kept them in a lot of football games, kind of getting them the ball back, if you will. Those three and outs were a lot to do with that defense. So, yeah, I was just curious what you thought about him kind of stepping back from that role.
Yeah, and again, if they don't progress, look for him to grab that back. That would be my bold take here. You know what?
Yeah. Absolutely. He still may be. Just let him put his name on an office door somewhere, you know?
And then, hey, we got kicker Brock Taylor back for another year. Shane, he kicked 18 of or made 18 of 21 field goals last season. He was one of the most accurate kickers in the conference. And we added Washington State punter Nick Harbor. So special teams, one of the best in the conference last year, should be once again. And again, for teams like Vanderbilt, you kind of need the special teams to be a separator. We already mentioned Martell Height, outstanding quarterback, receiver. He's also a kick returner himself. So special teams could flip a game or two for the Commodores, and that may be the difference between going to the postseason or not.
She says Nick Harper?
Well, Harbor, it's two ERs. Oh, okay. It's he's not the...
He's not too fast. I was just curious how fast that punter was, but...
All right, hey, so biggest questions for Vanderbilt.
Yes.
Entering fall camp, Shane. Can they back it up? Can they do it again? We're hearing a lot of talk out of the West End, thanks mostly to Diego Pavia, but it's one thing to talk. You got to back it up. And, you know, I think that is a legitimate concern now, because now he's kind of putting the target on Vanderbilt's back for the first time since I can, maybe since that, I don't remember who it was, but do you remember there was a Vanderbilt defensive lineman called out Alabama and said,
Then
they lost like 60 they beat them like, something.
Zero.
I mean, that's the last time I remember anyone on Vanderbilt talking trash. Can they handle it? Can they handle the exposure, the pressure, all that comes with it? I think that's the biggest question looming over the Commodores right now.
Yeah, doing it again, you know. And like I said, the secret's out. You know, when you watch Vanderbilt's offense, it takes you a little while to adjust it. But the problem with repeating a schedule, I think, for the Commodores is they're playing teams that have faced it, but. I think there's more pressure in that, because let's don't act like Coach Lee didn't have some pressure coming into 24. He was one of those that was a favorite, you know, for hot seat talk and everything like that, because they weren't winning SEC games. But now it's like they want you to back it up. You just built this brand new stadium. They're now starting to put more money in this program. Yeah, there's a little more pressure up there in Nashville.
Hey, excellent question from Cousin Chase. Shane, you think Vanderbilt will be ranked at any point this year? And I don't want to give away my predictions, but I feel pretty confident if it plays out the way I think it will.
Yeah.
I think Vanderbilt will be ranked at some point this year.
And I'm just not going to give it away.
Okay.
But you'll know. You'll know pretty soon.
All right. So here's the schedule for the Commodore, Shade. Over, under, 4.5. I think this is the most disrespectful over under in the conference this year. Odds to win the SEC, 300-1. Odds to win it all, Shane, 1,000-1. Man, oh man, the disrespect. Again, there's a lot of talk coming out of Nashville, but this right here, this should be plastered on every locker and all over the facility. 4.5. They don't think you can do it again.
That's embarrassing. I mean, honestly, that's basically saying, I think they may win an SEC game. You know, that's what it feels like. And after what I saw last year, and the returning production, I think it's this may be a fun little bet right here, man.
Okay.
maybe.
All right. So you ready to get into the win, loss, or toss?
Yes, let's do it.
Here's how I see it, Shane, for them Vanderbilt Commodores. You let me know. I just went damn crazy again, Shane. Games that should be wins, in my opinion. The opener, Charleston Southern at home. Georgia State at home. Utah State at home. And old Kentucky at home. So I got four here. Do you disagree with any of those four as should be wins?
I do not disagree with you here, Mike.
Ooh.
Okay. I mean, obviously the closest one will be November 22nd, Kentucky Wildcats. But yeah, I think if you had church sermon, Cousin Shane, he'd tell you, yeah, I like Vanderbilt in this situation. So yeah, that should be a win there at home.
Yeah, Nick Roush is punching air right now. You know what?
Oh, man. Get your videos ready.
All right, so I got five games listed as toss-ups for the Commodores.
Yep.
At Virginia Tech, at South Carolina, Missouri at home, Auburn at home, and at Tennessee. Do you disagree with any of those toss-ups?
Hell yeah, November 29th. What the hell is that, Mike? You just get me going now. First Nick, now Shane. Yeah. Hell, I'm talking in third person. Yeah, I would say.
Any other ones?
Yeah, just that one. Those okay. Others, I do think the other ones could be toss-ups. You can. Yeah, I think you're good there.
Okay, and then I got three losses at Bama, LSU at home, and at Texas. So it sounds like you probably don't disagree with any of those.
I'm going to be honest with you, Mike. The closest one is, besides the Tennessee one, is South Carolina. I feel like that probably should be a loss, just being okay. In Columbia. But I get it. It's early in the season. Crazy things happen. So we'll just, I think this may be the closest one you've gotten right so far this year.
Ooh, hey, I'll take it. All right, so now we're going to go week by week.
Yes.
Predicting the season for the Commodores. And as always, this confuses some people. We're doing this best case, optimistic. They're trying to be Vanderbilt homers here a little bit. I try not to overdo it. But I don't have to overdo anything, Shane, because Charleston Southern went 1-11 last year. They play in the Big South. I literally never heard of it until I did the research. They went 0-8. And they lost 10 in a row to end last season. They're losing 11 in a row. Come on, this is an easy one, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to sink that ship. You know what I'm saying? This one here is not going to be entertaining at all. I think it will be for Vanderbilt fans, but this one should be over pretty damn soon. And that's the way it should be. This is a good game to get right, break in some of that new offensive line, get ready for the game that really matters, and that's the following week with Virginia Tech.
Okay, and then, yeah, so that's going to be quite the showdown, Shane. Tech went 6-7 last season, lost to Vanderbilt in the opener. That was an overtime game. But if memory serves, Vanderbilt got out to a nice big lead, almost let it slip through their fingers. But Virginia Tech, Shane, they lost three of their final four. Yeah. They're number 55 in Stephen/Athlon's preseason magazine. So, yeah, I if you're just looking at brands, of course, Virginia Tech historically a lot better than Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, I think, the much better team this year. But, it changes things because it's at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech's got two new coordinators, so there is change with them. Man, I really think this is going to be a really good game, Shane, and I don't think I'm just being a homer. I may be, but I don't think I am, Shane. Give me a win. Get the hell out of here, Hokie. I don't even know what the hell that is, but I think Vanderbilt is going to be 2-0 to start the season because, quite frankly, I think Vanderbilt's a little bit better, and I don't think Virginia Tech, they're probably going to be worse.
Yeah, I mean, it will be a fun, intro. We get to hear the music that they stole from a band, and then we get all excited about all the kids jumping. And then it's also one of those that I think at the end of the day, Virginia Tech fans are still going to label it a upset, but they shouldn't because they'll be upset every time they play Pavia and the Commodores. This is a big win for Vanderbilt. You're talking about rank. I think this is pretty close right here. This starts fringing it a little bit, get about the 25 mark. Others receiving votes maybe, but this is a big win to go on the road for Coach Lee, and I don't think it's far-fetched. I'm not saying as a homer. I think straight up, this could be a victory for Vanderbilt week two, so I like the Doors.
Hey, I swear I'm not trying to, make fun of them or anything, but
– yeah.
Maybe the first time in this show's history, you've kind of used others receiving votes as like a as like a great thing. I was like, yeah, we're the others receiving votes.
Dude, if you've not had a shitty football team, you don't understand. That's like you talk to like Steven Up. I see him comment. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. You talk to maybe not Rick, but. Definitely Junior, just giving you a hard time, JR. But you know what I'm saying? Like it's been a while, but when you're, let's say Tennessee Vols and you've got Derek Dooley and going into your second season, others receiving votes is kind of cool, because it shows progress and you absolutely hate not being mentioned at all. So,
right.
Yeah, we've been there.
I get it. All right. Week three. Now this is going to be a huge one, Shane. at South Carolina. We've already had Diego Pavia come out here and say, hey, this is the one I want. This is the game I've got circled. Again, a credit to him for coming out and saying it, because we just don't get that kind of content much these days. But, you know, last year, South Carolina whipped us pretty good. Even though, you know, Vanderbilt did what they did and they were chewing up the clock, but South Carolina was on a heater and it was not much of a competitive ball game. You know, I don't quite know what South Carolina is going to be, particularly early in the season, having to replace a lot of standout defensive players. Has a receiver emerged? Where are they at with running back? I heard that was going to be resolved this week. I still don't think it is. Faison, their transfer, to my knowledge, I could be mistaken, but I don't think he's gotten that waiver yet. I hope, fingers crossed, he does. Hell, they may be waiting, leading up to this game, see if he's eligible. So there are some unknowns with South Carolina. Meanwhile, bringing back everybody for Vanderbilt. So South Carolina's won 16 in a row, Shane, in this series. I smell an upset. Upset Vanderbilt fans. So, yeah, I mean, if this game is at Vanderbilt, maybe I'd give them a little bit more of a shot. But you can't lose 16 in a row, and I'm going to sit here and project you to beat them on the road. I don't think that's happening.
But there's been some close ones. You know, I had one on the list the other day with what's his name kicking a game-winning field goal. So they've had some tight. I think it's Fry had some damn tight football games, and this could be one of them. This is classic trap, you know, for South Carolina. You know, you're expecting a win. This is one that you always win. You always beat Vanderbilt until you don't. And trust me, the don'ts happen. I'm a diehard Vol fan, and I thought it would never happen in my lifetime until it did. And then it did again. So yes, this is a tough Vanderbilt football team. I don't know exactly what time this game will play. I would imagine being an earlier one, you know, that you're just kind of dragging, and next thing you know, you're down a couple of scores and you're just praying to God Sellers takes over, which I think he will. But this may be South Carolina's biggest scare up to this point. So give me South Carolina with a win, but barely.
I think just to clarify, I think they've already announced the kickoff.
Yeah.
I think it's a night game.
That's even worse for Vanderbilt. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's TBD. So,
yeah, we know what that means.
I don't know.
10 minutes after 12.
Hey, shout out Johnny Utah, Shane. Hell, Here's a few bucks. 1998. Yeah. I like what he did. Because nobody gives a damn about Vanderbilt. Bless y'all's heart. Go Vols. We appreciate you, Johnny.
Thank you, cuz. Appreciate that.
Go Vols. Yeah. Oh, hey, damn. We got another one here, Shane. Braxton Bagwell. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
We appreciate you, Braxton. Thank you so much.
Welcome home with all these crazy bastards. you know, I try not. I know comments are going to be wild. They get wilder and wilder as the season goes, you know. But when we're in the thick of it, we're going to have some knockdown dragouts in there. I can already tell. We're going to have a family fight, family feud before long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I think they'll. I want the cousins to show up every time, right? But.
Yeah.
I can imagine a lot of trash talk.
Yeah.
And then maybe people are missing for the next week or two.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm trying to learn how to use this timeout button because I'm sure I'm going to need to do it.
All right. Next game. Oh, revenge game. Georgia.
Yes.
State. Why the hell do we keep playing Georgia State? We got multiple SEC teams playing, scheduling Georgia State for some reason. They've got a voodoo hex on the conference. They beat us. Shane, do you have any idea? I'm sure you don't. But they beat us last year.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea Georgia State's record last season? And it makes that win over Vanderbilt even worse for the Commodores.
Shit, when you say it like that, 1-11?
3-9.
Ooh.
But they lost 8 of their last 9 after beating Vanderbilt. And they're 122nd. In Stevens preseason poll. If they don't beat Georgia State at home. Get the hell. We'll never schedule a Georgia State in the conference ever again. I don't care how much it costs to buy them out. We ain't doing it.
You sure the hell ain't going to their place, you know? That was like that. As sad as Vanderbilt Stadium was last year, I can't stand games like that where they got one camera facing the same five kids the entire game. You know what I'm saying? It was miserable. I couldn't wait for that one to be over. Let's make this one up. Probably should have mentioned this one first. This is a get right game for Vanderbilt. So give me a win.
Hey, shout out cousin Jesse. He just gave us
$10.
Since we beat Vandy 16 straight, I feel obligated to donate to the Cub.
I need a guitar and start singing Sarah McLachlan songs. Yeah. I haven't seen any Vandy fans in the section here, in the comment section. They're out there. A lot of audio listeners. Oh, we even have a clip. That's awesome.
I know. I was trying. I thought I had a South Carolina one here. I don't have it loaded up. So apologies, Jesse. But we do appreciate the donation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's going to buy us a round at Media Hell Days. Yeah. You know?
Come on now.
All right. Next game on the docket, Shane.
Yes.
Da-da-da-da. Man, Utah State. I ain't wasting people's time with that. That's a win, right?
Yeah. I could do Utah. Yeah, that one's a win.
So, again, we could be sitting here 3-1. And really, I know the Virginia Tech game is by no means a given, but I think if you're a Vanderbilt fan, I think you kind of expect to go 3-1.
Yeah.
Buddy, imagine how time has changed here. It wasn't that long ago. 3-1, they throw a damn party on Broadway. 3-1, there might be some fans disappointed. Why ain't we 4-0? You know what I mean? I mean, I think we may have turned a corner here.
I think you have. You know what I'm saying? I think you have. And it's not crazy to be sitting in that spot, because you're looking at South Carolina, Virginia Tech. You know, if you lose one of those, win one of those, you're right there in the mix, brother. And I think that's what we ultimately want to see if we're a Commodore fan, is just progression. You know, we want to see improvement. We don't want to be, last year was as good as it gets. No, we want to, you know, there's a reason that he came back. There's a reason his tight end came back. There's a reason the coaches stuck around. They are trying to do something special and create the groundwork for what can happen there. And I've told you, it's a sleeping giant for a reason, because if this thing did pick up steam, nobody would want to play Vanderbilt Commodores.
Hey, shout out cousin Jordan. Vandy fan here.
Oh,
hit that like button, anchor down.
Hell yeah.
And then we got a question from Ashley Schaefer's, changed his name on us. Need cousin Shane to interview Kirby on his favorite Cracker Barrel dish at Media Days.
Yeah. Hey, maybe that's what I'm thinking about doing that before we go, is maybe, you know, send a poll out to the questions cousins would like. So maybe when we get, you know, some of these athletes or coaches to the table, we say, hey, you know, Coach Ashley wants to ask this or whatever, you know. I think that'd be kind of a good idea.
Mm-hmm. You know what just else would be a good idea, Shane?
What's that?
Beating Bama again. I mean, can they do it? Bama's already talking trash. They've got this game circled for good reason, because they lost, first time in 40 years. They lost to the Commodores. It's in Tuscaloosa, you know, so that's a big difference there. This was, I think, the most Vanderbilt fans I've ever seen in that stadium, where, you know, I don't think they were there at kickoff, but by God, they made it there by the fourth quarter somehow.
Yeah.
So again, this, we already got asked the question during this program, you know, if Alabama loses, they're firing the coach, right? So when we got questions like this coming in, if Alabama doesn't win this damn game, you know, the program is over and done with. I don't care what the recruiting rankings say. So I got to go Alabama on the road. Revenge game. I would probably be even more stunned than I was last year if Vanderbilt found a way to win this game.
It's not like Alabama needed more ammunition, but you gave it to them, you know, and you've kind of made this one even more personal. And I do think that Alabama not necessarily has a lot riding on this game, but pride is a factor. We'll be talking about the Vanderbilt Alabama game. You better damn believe the Alabama fans will not forget that game for the rest of their lives, because sometimes you remember the greatest games, but you also remember the lowest of lows. And I feel like that's what Tide fans thought. So there's a lot going to be riding on this football game. And when you come down there, Tuscaloosa, I think Alabama will get the win for sure.
Yeah. Now, the good news, after that long stretch, we get a bye week to get ready for LSU. So 2 weeks to prepare. Of course, I believe the last time, Shane, that LSU came to Nashville, they literally drank the stadium dry.
Yeah.
We know those LSU crazy fans, they travel well. They're going to have a good time. They're going to come up to Nashville. It's going to be quite the scene. And again, Vanderbilt, I don't think they match up particularly well against LSU and all the talent that they have. Veteran quarterback. I think Vanderbilt will be at a major disadvantage here. But again, they have beaten maybe, well, I don't know, better teams, but Alabama was number one when they beat them. So I'm not saying no chance, but I think it's low chance. But again, crazier things have happened. But I got to lean LSU on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say no chance. I don't think that there is a chance here. Even optimistically, I'd love to see this be a ball game for Vanderbilt side, but I just think LSU's got too much, too many weapons. And one thing, too, about kind of the style that Vanderbilt likes to play, you can't let a lead get out of hand. And this is a prime example of a team that can put two or three scores together real quick. And if you do that, I think it just takes the air out of what Vanderbilt's trying to do.
Yeah. All right, so Missouri, this is a big one, Shane.
Yeah.
Big game. Took them to overtime last season. What's Missouri going to be? I know you're already crowning them for like the ninth year in a row. Crowded them. You see, I retweeted Joe Klatt. He finally figured out that Missouri's got a favorable schedule. Just the same damn schedule as last. So he's like 18 months behind on the times. But, you know, again, he's pumping them up. So, you took this team to overtime.
Yeah.
I'm not sold on Missouri. You know who I am sold on? Diego Pavia and these Commodores. Come on, buddy. We're getting a win. Shocking the world. I think this is a team fully capable of sneaking up on. Again, what is Missouri going to be on offense? I don't know. How effective are they going to be? But I think this is the perfect kind of opponent. I know Missouri is going to have a... I listened to Shane on Power Mizzou podcast. Go check it out. They're going to have the 1985 Chicago Bears over there. But, you know, when you're gearing up in the SEC, what you're not seeing is triple option a lot of the time. So yeah. One mistake by Bo Prabula, one fumble, one what have you, and all of a sudden you were down in the count against Vanderbilt. So, Vanderbilt probably should have won this game last year. I don't think Missouri's going to be as good. I think Vanderbilt's going to be better. So, give me Vanderbilt, and we'll call it an upset, but I don't even know if it is.
I love it. And I do think on the opposite end of the spectrum where we were talking about LSU, this is a Mizzou team that is going to get back to more of the ground and pound, I think, and playing, you know, stifling defense kind of similar to what Vanderbilt's trying to do. And it could be a low-scoring game, and I think a low-scoring game would definitely favor – Vanderbilt, but it's not gonna be a low scoring game. Give me Mizzou here. I'd love to say that it happens, but I just don't, man. I feel like Vanderbilt caught a lot of few teams off, and especially Mizzou early in the season last year. Yeah, you don't trick them twice. This is a big win for Mizzou.
Trick them.
Yeah, get that. Get that triple headed.
It can't be a trick if you're winning multiple conference games on the road.
Yeah, it's a gimmick, whatever. Shotgun, triple axe, you know. I mean, say what you want. It's not the style offense that Mizzou faces. And right. they got a dose of it last year. And I feel like on the flip side, Mizzou's defense against Vanderbilt's offense, I think that's a fantastic matchup. And that's the reason I would favor that defense.
Hmm. All right, well, speaking of good defense, Texas next, Shane. But one of my favorite stats that Texas fans don't like to be known. Do you have any idea Vanderbilt's record against Texas all time?
That they're winning. Yeah, Vanderbilt's winning that one.
By a wide margin.
Really? What is it, 3-1?
8-4. Right, 8-4. Okay. They got twice as many wins as you got.
Yeah.
But that's about the only nice thing I could say. Come on, Texas is going to roll in this one. This could be a major, major disadvantage. But again, maybe Maybe Arch, you know, maybe he makes a mistake or two. That's all it takes against Vanderbilt, believe it or not. You throw a pick here. You fumble the ball when you shouldn't. And again, you're only getting about 6-7 possessions in a football game. If two of those are evaporated for whatever reason, that's how they beat Alabama. That's how they beat Auburn. You know, again, it can happen. I just think it's highly, highly, highly unlikely you're beating Texas in Austin.
Yeah. And, you know, truth be told, like if I'm telling you the truth, Mike, they're going to catch somebody. You know, up to this point, we've just kind of singled out the wins and losses. But I do think that there's a loss in there that we've penciled in. It's probably a victory just because of what Vanderbilt will be this year. I don't think it's Texas. Would I be surprised? Yeah, I think that'd be one of the bigger surprises of the year. But they do sneak up on somebody, and it ain't going to be Texas, I don't think.
Yeah, so next game, Auburn comes to town, buddy. Woo, Diego, as soon as he got eligible for another year, I think that's when he started taking up golf because he could not handle another year of his damn quarterback. He's 0-3 against him, going back to his Liberty, New Mexico State days. I mean, Diego has followed this guy. I don't know what Hugh Freeze is going to be doing next year because I don't think he's going to be the coach at Auburn, but I think Diego's going to be his competition, wherever that is, just to continue to haunt the guy. You know, this is a good matchup here. And again, I know you're head over heels for Auburn and Hugh Freeze and company. I'm not. I'm going the other direction. Give me Vanderbilt, buddy, to keep the streak alive. I think we have an opportunity to, if we win this game, we've locked up the postseason and we got a real shot at momentum to close out the year.
It's hard to argue. You convinced me 3-0 against Hugh Freeze. And, you know, as long as Pavia is throwing the football, I kind of fear the success of Auburn Tigers. But this is one of those games. This is one of those, what's the Auburn situation? I mean, they're already pissed off. The fans are just, they can't stand the jokes that their coach is golfing. They can't stand the fact they can't recruit. You know what I'm saying? They definitely can't stand the production we saw last year or the fact they lost to this football team by multiple scores.
Right.
So what does Auburn look like coming into this game? That's I guess, the ultimate X factor for me is I think this win or loss depends solely on the success that Hugh Freeze has had up to this point. But unfortunately, I'm feeling like this is a big year for Hugh Freeze and them Auburn Tigers. So I think Vanderbilt gets yet another loss here.
Now, you remember, we're being optimistic. I feel like you're being optimistic with every team they're playing but Vanderbilt on this edition.
Do you feel that? Is it in the air?
Yeah, like this is Auburn's year. This is Mizzou's year. Like, this is optimistic Vanderbilt, but all right.
It's the problem of doing all the previews before we get to this one, because now I'm excited about all those other football teams. So,
okay, they're going to lose to everybody. How about Kentucky? Kentucky's coming to town. We whipped them last year. Get the hell out of here. Motivated to get your ass whooped by Vanderbilt. That's what I say. So, I think that Vanderbilt, Kentucky leads the all-time series by 5, but I think by this point, Kentucky's going to be, if they're not already, in a dumpster fire, and there's going to be all kind of consternation on where Mark Stoops is. I don't know what in the world the future of that program is, but I do not think it's bright. I think Vanderbilt has already surpassed Kentucky, believe it or not, and I think they'll further prove it this year.
Yep, big win. Big win for Vanderbilt right here. Okay.
So, I think he got Vanderbilt 1-11 now. All right, so Tennessee, Shane, we've already heard it from old Diego.
Yeah.
This state is going to be owned by Vanderbilt. Again, that's his words, not mine.
Yeah.
But last year was a little ugly. I think that was tough to judge that, though, Shane, because we all know, we remember Tennessee, they had playoff on the line. Meanwhile, Vanderbilt was a beaten and battered team. Diego Pavia, I heard Clark Lee after that game said he probably had no business being on the football field. He was so banged up by the end of the year. He I believe he was third in the SEC in rushing attempts last year. That's insane. We should have mention that at some point, but they got to curb that if they can be a little bit healthier. And again, we go back to the transfer portal. We go back to all the production they're bringing back. I think this is going to be a deeper, more talented Vanderbilt team. I think they'll be able to sustain a lot better. And hell, what is Tennessee going to be? Are they playoff teams? I was asked on one of the radio shows, is it more likely they're in the playoff or more likely they lose to Georgia, Alabama, and Florida? And I mean, I almost started laughing. I said, of course, it's more likely they're going to lose to those three teams. And guess what, Shane? They're going to lose to Vanderbilt. Come on, Vanderbilt! This is the one we want. Go 8-4 this year, optimistically. I don't even think that's that big of a surprise because Tennessee, without Nico, lost a lot on defense, Shane. You tell me their star receiver. I don't think they got one. Who's their best running back? I don't know if they got one. Offensive line, it's totally rebuilt. The one offensive lineman you're bringing back, everybody hated him last year. So Tennessee could be a dumpster fire this year.
Could be. But what if they're not? I think, honestly, Vanderbilt wins this game if it's played week 1 through 3. Week 12 is going to be the biggest, I think, turning point here. By this point, some of these questions that you just asked will have been answered. And, I mean, as much as I love the talent that Vanderbilt's bringing back, comparing it to the talent that Tennessee currently has rostered, it's apples and oranges, in my opinion. So I think Tennessee wins. And still a successful season. Can you pull up Vanderbilt's?
I think you got them 4-8. That's successful.
No, I'm going to do a quick count here. I think I got bowl game here. That's what I was trying to shoot for here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
You gave them 4-8.
I gave them 5-7.
Oh, okay.
But I do think there is a game. I told you there's going to be a game, whether it be Mizzou, whether it be Tennessee, whether it be South Carolina, there's a game in there that I have put in as a loss that probably will be a win. I think this is a 6-win team ceiling going to the play or not the playoffs, but a bowl game.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
Damn, Vegas got them at 4.5. And you're getting that mad at me because I put them at 5.
Well, they had them at 2 last year. They just won 7.
What is that? I mean, that doesn't matter. That was last year. You know, sometimes they're a little off. Sometimes they're just
and they're bringing everyone back, including maybe the best quarterback in the state.
Yeah, maybe you may be right if he's healthy. I mean, let's don't act like he played 100% the entire season. So
he's getting all that money for personal trainers this year. So he's even better. You know what?
He's even. I don't know. I'm afraid he's spending all his time behind the microphone that he ain't going to be good on the football field. So,
most important games here for Vanderbilt to turn it around and have a successful season. I put Tennessee number one, Shane, because again, they're talking the talk. Again, I'm not saying like to make a playoff or anything like that, but if Vanderbilt goes 1-11, they beat Tennessee, I think they'll consider it a successful season. It could be a mistake to put them that low because that high because it is the last game, but I'm saying it. I got Auburn there, and I got Virginia Tech because I think that game is, if they lose to Virginia Tech, I don't say the season's done, but I think there'll be some self-doubt setting in.
Man, I'm going to have to disagree with you a little bit here. I think Virginia Tech is right. I think it should be higher on your list. The South Carolina one is also a pivotal one, in my opinion, because I feel like the success of Vanderbilt needs to happen before October. And if it does, if they can find 4 wins like we just talked about, then they have the opportunity to hit that 6 mark by catching a couple of these teams off guard. Mizzou is the only one. Mizzou and Auburn, I think, are more important for this program than even Tennessee, because at that point, you know, it doesn't matter if you're playing for a bowl game. You know, you catch Mizzou, you catch Auburn again. I feel like, especially at home, I think those would be a little bit more important.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're wrong. No. But I respect your opinion. You know what?
Thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Absolutely. It's fun.
But Ashley Schaefer says I can keep my ass in Atlanta after
saying, yeah. Yes.
And hey, Cousin Jordan, he's a Vandy fan, right? A win over Tennessee is a winning season for Vandy, bro. There you go.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. See, maybe that's me. That's too much Tennessee in me to let Vanderbilt have a successful season.
All right, buddy. So, hey, we recapped another team. Oh, let me ask you this real quick.
Yes.
Real quick. 1 to 10. I love asking you these questions now. On a scale of 1 to 10, and apparently you're horribly down on Vanderbilt, even as a Vanderbilt homer. Improving on last season's 6-6. We're just talking regular season.
Yeah.
If Vanderbilt improves on last year's 7-5 or better, on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised would you be, 1 being low, 10 being high, that Vanderbilt goes 7-5 or better in the regular season?
Oh, 7. 7. Pretty surprised if they improve last year's success.
Well, I gave you one final shot to be a Vanderbilt homer, and you said,
nah.
Not today. All right, so hey, that's a perfect place to cut it. If there was two Vanderbilt fans, they'd be upset right now. But thankfully, there's only one in here. Anything else, buddy, before we cut it?
No, absolutely. Had a great time. Can't wait to see you guys tomorrow. Be sure to hit that thumbs up and subscribe. It means a lot. If you want Vanderbilt to have a successful season, don't hit the thumbs up. If you'd like Vanderbilt to implode again and he made fun of your football team, please hit a thumbs up. You know, just let us know, and that way we can gauge just the how much Vanderbilt love we have in the chat room here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as always, Shane, I appreciate you. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys. Anchors down.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.